We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome into another edition of Green with Envy. As always, this is your boy Will Weir checking in. How you doing? How you living? Another solo dolo pod for your boy here. Checking in with a Green with Envy quick hit. The Boston Celtics have wrapped up their preseason, finishing up 3-1 on the preseason here. They wrap up tonight with a final victory against the Charlotte Hornets on the road, 127-99. We're going to get into that here in just a second with our morning box score. But once again, we always appreciate everybody joining in, following along. So make sure that you go ahead, hit that subscribe button, make sure that you follow along. And for tonight's podcast, just to give you kind of a glimpse or, you know, kind of a look ahead here, stick around after we get through this morning box score, because I've got a little bit of a, in quotations here, beef that I'd like to settle. So I'm going to speak on that here in just a minute. But for right now, let's do what we do. And for the last time this preseason, before these games start to really count, let's go ahead and cue up that morning box score. 127-99, the Boston Celtics take down the Charlotte Hornets on the road. As we always do, let's go ahead and start with the Hornets. And, you know, this one we thought was going to be a little bit more of a dress rehearsal than it really was through the first about three quarters. Both of these teams mostly played their real guys. Hornets kind of a little bit past halftime. Celtics probably a little bit more towards the end of that third quarter. But we did actually see kind of a real live look at the Hornets versus Celtics, which for the last preseason game of the season, a little bit interesting, a little bit unexpected to see. So for the Hornets, they had Gordon Hayward here, had 11 points and 5 rebounds, 4 of 9 from the field. Mark Williams, young guy, young center, finally a center. I think the Hornets that I actually kind of like, they've been trying to find a center for years. 8 points, 4 of 7, 7 rebounds for him. Old friend Terry Rozier, 6 of 12 from the field, 14 points. LaMelo Ball, 16 points on 5 of 13 shooting. Got some bench contributions late from Nick Richards out here, 15 points for him. Let's swing over to the Celtics, where their defense really stole the show in this one. 22 steals on the nights for the Celtics, as well as every single individual that suited up for the Celtics tonight. They got a bucket, at least 1 point for everyone that suited up for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, El Fuego, En Fuego, apparently Brian Scalabrine, hit me up. We need to do some Duolingo together. I'm working on it. You clearly need to work on it as well. So we'll figure it out together here. 20 points for Jaylen Brown, 4 of 5 from the three-point line, 8 of 12, and a half-court shot that didn't count. So he was definitely feeling it tonight. Tatum, 11 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 14 points for Kristaps Porzingis to go along with 12 rebounds. Really saw, you know, the Hornets team, like I said, Mark Williams, they finally found a center that I kind of like, but it's still a team that really lacks some depth. That center position has always been an area that, you know, when Rob Williams was here, when Al Horford, who didn't play tonight, you know, when he's available, the Celtics really can dominate, most teams can, dominate the Hornets down low. Derek White, another great game for him, 6 of 11 from the field, 15 points, 11 points for Drew Holiday. Combined, they had 5 steals, and they were just causing havoc all over the court tonight. Off the bench, the Celtics, you know, little bit of a quiet night for preseason P. Sam Hauser, same thing, relatively quiet, but Big Nimi, Delano Banton, You know, those guys, Lamar, Stevens, all of them really nice nights off the bench. Big Nimi especially, 6 of 6 from the field. He had 12 points to go along with 7 rebounds. So really nice night for a few of these guys. And it's, you know, interesting, like I said, last preseason game of the year, you kind of more expect of it to be a benchapalooza of sorts, where you're getting your last look at, all right, how does Svi Mykhai look? Feel for this team? How does Wenyen Gabriel look? But, you know, Mazzulla went a different route. Mazzulla's a different guy. Call him Crazy Joe Mazzulla for a reason on this show. And so he played most of his regulars. But something I did want to point out is that, you know, in that first half, you did see a few stints in which Big Nimi got some run, Delano Banton got some run, O'Shea Brissett got some run. So I did think it was interesting that those specific guys were the ones that got a little bit more playing time with the regulars. So no Al Horford tonight. And then Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard in the mix. We didn't see Luke Kornet. So no Luke Kornet tonight. I wouldn't read too much into that. I think he's pretty solidly established that he will be getting some playing time most nights. And then certainly nights that Al Horford's out, I think you'll see him. But, you know, maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. But I do think the fact that, you know, Big Nimi, Banton, and Brissett all were the ones that kind of got some minutes outside of that normal seven, and I'm including Pritchard and Hauser in that normal seven that played tonight, I do wonder if that means anything. I do wonder if that's kind of a look ahead, because I think the hardest part when trying to judge preseason is when it's all of the backups versus other backups, and there's a lot of backups to the backups in preseason. It's kind of hard to get a real read of what would this actually look like if they were playing a role and they're playing off of guys like Tatum, guys like Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis, so on and so forth. And so maybe it means nothing. But I do think it's at least of note that in that first 2.5 quarters or so, the guys that you saw that, you know, got a look with the, you know, with the varsity team was Nimi, it was Banton, and there was Brissett. Maybe it means nothing, but I do think, you know, it's something to think about here as we head to the weekend, where final cuts are going to be made, that final roster is going to be sorted, and, you know, we'll know sooner rather than later what this team's going to look like going into Wednesday night against the New York Knicks when it all goes down for real. So I'm super excited for that. Stay tuned for this upcoming weekend. Three-man weave, you know, if we can get my guys healthy, I got to be real. The three-man weave out here, we're taking shots left and right. We've got COVID. We've got wisdom teeth coming out. We've got coughing. We're on medicine. We got medications flying. So I'm hoping my guys, I hope you guys are feeling better. I'm holding it down for you right now without you, but I miss you guys. And I hope that you guys are back ready to go this weekend. And we can give everybody out there a really nice, solid preview for the Celtics season. And then come Wednesday is go time. It's straight up. It's on. It's going down, and I can't wait for it to get started. So, but before I leave you tonight, and that's a pretty quick morning box score, you know, especially with just being the last pregame season of the year, you know, we're going to look forward to the rest of the season. But I wanted to address a podcast that I heard earlier today. And, you know, so specifically for those of you listening, so that we can all be on the same page here, I'm talking about the NBA Ringer show, specifically the group chat show that has Big Waz, Rob Mahoney, and Justin Verrier. And this is specifically to some comments that were made by Big Waz in the show. So basically, over the last couple of podcasts, for those of you that may not listen to this particular feed, they've been going through and giving their preseason rankings. So each one of the three members of the group chat, go through and rank the teams 1 through 30. Then they create kind of the aggregate rankings of the show of where each team is. So they're at the final 5 or 6 or whatever it was for the most recent episode on the feed. And so, of course, it features the Celtics. I believe the Celtics were the top of one of their rankings, third another. And then Big Waz actually had them 4th. And that's kind of where the conversation, you know, started to generate was, you know, why was Waz not quite as high on the Celtics as others? And you know, we're nitpicking here. And to be clear, everything I'm about to get into might be a nitpick of a nitpick. So make of it what you will, but it was something that I feel like I wanted to address. And so within this discussion, it's talking about how, you know, the Celtics, and we've talked about this many times on this podcast, the shortcomings of the Celtics, late games, offensively, being able to adapt to zones, and different reasons why they've been so close, but just haven't quite gotten there, you know, to cross that finish line and bring home Banner 18.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And so I'm not going to talk really about his thoughts on the Celtics as a whole, because I think we've done a lot of that. We know that there was something that needed to change, and Brad Stevens took those swings. Jrue Holiday's here. Kristaps Porzingis is here for a reason. No more Marcus, no more Grant, no Brogdon, no Brown. That's a big change. That's a lot. That's a lot. And so we know the type of talent that's here. And, you know, those big swings are going to dictate whether or not that it works and gets them over that hump. And so we'll see. Time will tell. But another part that really kind of jumped out to me, and it was something that I had started to think about just listening to a lot of season preview podcasts, you know, across, you know, multiple mediums, whether it's The Ringer, ESPN, whatever. And it kind of feels like there's this, yes, Jason Tatum is a either definitive or borderline top five guy. But are we sure he's that guy? He can be a guy that can win you the title. He can be that guy, because almost every team that wins an NBA championship has a definitive top five guy to it, or you have, you know, two of the top 10 or 12, or there's some type of combination of that. And, you know, for the Celtics to win a title, Jason Tatum probably does really need to be a top five guy. And, you know, based off the last two seasons, back-to-back, first team all NBA, back-to-back, top five MVP, certainly seems that if he's not in that category, he's trending and he's right near the top of it. And so, you know, there were some comments that Big Waz made, and specifically, I'm going to read those to you here that really jumped out to me. And what he said was, he is more consistently bad than any other player of his caliber in big moments. So we're talking about those top 5 to 10 guys. That's the caliber of players that we're talking about. And, you know, I'm not to sit here and tell you Jason Tatum's perfect, that he's never had a bad game in the playoffs. That's just not true. He definitely has. But I feel like the big moments that he has, which there are plenty of them, which is the part that is a little bit confusing to me, I don't feel like he gets the same acknowledgement for those as others that get credit for those and don't get quite dinged as much for the, you know, the poor performances that they have on their own resume. So I was thinking about this the other day. I was at the gym. Listen to Big Waz say this, and I thought, you know what? Maybe we need to investigate this. Maybe we need to actually figure out, is this true? Is Jason Tatum actually more consistently bad than the other players of his caliber, than his quote-unquote his peers? So let's dig into it. So what I did was I took from the same company that Big Waz works for, The Ringer, they came out recently with their Ringer NBA rank list. And this list, I believe, is meant to change throughout the season, but they came out with their preseason list. Jason Tatum landed at number 5. So let's take the top 10 of that list and let's go through and let's compare the resumes over the last 4 years. We're going to date this back to the bubble. So we have a little bit of a larger sample size. So we're going to go back to the bubble here. We're going to go 4 years worth of resume stats here. Let's put them together and let's see, is Jason Tatum actually in a large gap between him and the rest of those peers in that top 10? And what we're going to be using to measure that is we're going to look at the amount of playoff games played. We're going to look at your team playoff results over the last 4 seasons. And then we're going to look at your individual stats. And, you know, we're not going to have, it's just me here. We're not going to have time to dig into every single element of it. But I wanted to give us a baseline and let's actually see, is there a massive difference between what you get from Jason Tatum in these quote unquote big moments and what you get from these other members of his class, of his peers? So let's go through this top 10. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we even get into it, there's already 3 guys that I'm dismissing from this that we're not even going to talk about. We're not even going to broach them on this list. So let's start off and I'll give you the reasons why. And that's not to say that these guys aren't awesome. They're not great, that they can't be guys that are going to win a championship or win MVPs. In fact, one of them's already won an MVP that I'm about to talk about here. But I just think at this time, if we're talking about those big moments, these guys don't have a sample size of those big moments to even compare to Jason Tatum. So we can't do it. So number 4 on the Ringer's list here was Luka. One time out of the first round, missed the playoffs last season. Just not enough. What we're going to talk about, his really stellar first round exits. It's not worth it. We're dismissing Luka from this conversation for now, just for the sample, for this exercise. Next up, number 6 on the list. I mentioned there was an MVP on this list. It's Joel Embiid. Never been out the second round. Boston beats him every single time. He's admitted it. You know, call the Celtics his daddy. Basically, it's the Pedro Martinez quote. Like, I don't know what else to say about this. And, you know, I'll pause right here. If you want to go find me the YouTube clip of Joel Embiid's definitive playoff moment that tells you this is the guy. When you get, you know, when you get down in the dirt and when you get into battle in the playoffs, that's your guy. Go ahead. Go ahead and send it to me. I'll pause here for a minute. Found nothing. Yep, doesn't exist. That just doesn't exist. It's not out there. Joel Embiid, you're dismissed. See you later. Number 10 on the list, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA. Love SGA. Just too early. Has been in the playoffs once when he was really young. And, you know, he's still on the way up. I think even 10 might be, as much as I love SGA, might be a little high. I think in general, people are probably putting him in this top 10 category a little too quickly. So we'll see what happens, though, as now he starts to get more talent. We'll see, but it's just too early, so we're taking him off that list. So let's get into the actual comparisons that we have here. So we now have Tatum plus 6 other guys that are his peers, the same players of his caliber, and let's compare them. Let's see what we got here. So here's the Tatum stats that we're working with, and then we'll go through each of the other candidates for this as well. So Jason Tatum, over the last 4 years, from the bubble until present day, he's played in 66 playoff games. His team in those 4 seasons lost in the conference finals, lost in the first round, lost in the NBA finals, lost in the conference finals. Not bad. Only one team can win each year. Playoff stats, 26.5 points per game, 8.6 rebounds per game, 5.5 rebounds per game on a 51% effective field goal percentage. So that was going to be the stats that you'll see for each of these guys to see where they compare. All right, here we go. Buckle up. Number 1, Nikola Jokic. Playoff games, 54. Team results, lost in the conference finals, lost in the second round, lost in the first round, won in the NBA finals. Of course, we know those losses in the second round and the loss in the first round. No Jamal Murray in either of those. So definitely a big asterisk you got to put next to any type of evaluation you're making. But then, of course, does have that win in the NBA finals last year. His playoff stats, 28.1, 11.1, 7 assists. Effective field goal percentage, 58%. It's pretty fucking good. Really, really hard to argue anything about that one. It's pretty damn good. Let's go to number 2 on the list. That's Giannis. 45 playoff games, lost in the second round, won the NBA finals, lost in the second round, lost in the first round, including, just so you know, obviously, as we're talking about just comparing to Tatum, that lost the second round to the Celtics and Jason Tatum. We'll come back to that. Playoff stats for Giannis, 29.4, 13 rebounds, 5.7 assists per game on 56% effective field goal percentage. Again, pretty fucking good. Pretty hard to make any arguments against that. Number 3, we got Steph Curry. Playoff games, 35, only made the playoffs the last 2 years, two seasons. He actually missed the playoffs altogether. Of course, injuries and other parts of the team played a role, but last 4 years, missed the playoffs twice, won the NBA Finals versus the Celtics, as we all know, lost in the second round this past year versus the Lakers. Playoff stats, 28.5 points per game, five assists, six rebounds on a 56.1% effective field goal percentage. Let's go to number seven on the list. That is Kevin Durant. 27 playoff games played in the last 4 years. Injured, we didn't count that year from the bubble. It's injured, it's gone. Next 3 years, lost in round two, lost in round one, lost in round two. The win in round two from 3 years ago, of course, they beat Jason Tatum and the Celtics. But remember, that's Jason Tatum with a broken down Kemba Walker, Evan Fournier, Romeo Langford, Tristan Thompson, Daniel, I mean, it was a rough go. So, you know, and Jason Tatum got a game, dropped 50 burger in that series, you know, did still get a game in that series. And then, of course, we know the Nets whole thing fell apart. But that's the 4 year stretch of data that we have for Kevin Durant. His stats in that time, in those 27 games, 31 points, 8.5 rebounds, 5 assists on 53.1% effective field goal percentage.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Let's go to number eight. You guys aren't going to want to hear this one, but it is what it is. Number eight, Jimmy Butler, 64 games played. So he's second to Tatum on this list with the amount of games played. So giving away some part of the lead here. Jason Tatum, he plays more than anybody else in the playoffs. So just keep that in mind, because that is something that I'm going to come back to. But Jimmy Butler here, 64 games played in the playoffs over the last 4 years. Team playoff results, lost the NBA Finals, lost in the first round, lost in the conference finals, lost again in the NBA Finals. Obviously, Heat, Celtics, Jimmy Tatum, 2-1, Jimmy's favor. You know, the raw numbers might not be there, but it's hard to argue against the team success. But they're in the same category. Let's not act like they're miles apart. They're in the same argument, the same category. His individual stats: 24.7 points per game, 6.8 rebounds, 5.7 assists on a 50.6 effective field goal percentage. And then finally, number nine, Devin Booker, 43 games played. Team playoff results over the last 4 years: missed the playoffs in the bubble, lost in the NBA Finals, lost in the second round, lost in the second round. His playoff stats: 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 54.3 effective field goal percentage. So just looking at the raw numbers and looking at the data that we have from these top 10 guys, to me, there's not that much of a difference from their overall holistic numbers, that they're really that much of a separation. Now, the biggest separator is that if you're Jokic, if you're Giannis, and if you're Curry, you have an NBA Finals champion. You have the trophy. You have won a championship. And that's the biggest thing. So if you want to tell me those three guys are different than Jason Tatum, and that he's not, you can't put him in that same sentence, that same breath, that's fine. I don't think I can really make an argument against it, but there's no one else. It's those three. It's those three, and all of them, minus Steph, really Jokic and Giannis, were about a year away from being in this same level where Tatum is kind of being viewed right now, where, yeah, you're close, and we know you're good, and you're this or you're that, but are you that guy? Are you the dude? Because you haven't done it. And ultimately, you do have to do it to become that. So, you know, in that sense, Waz is not wrong. Like, he's not that. He hasn't done that yet that they've done, because in sports, once you do it once and you're forever that guy. No matter what, you've always done it. Look at, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. Think about Aaron Rodgers. And you think about before the injury, him being traded to the Jets. This man hasn't won a Super Bowl since, what, 2010, 2011? Been 12 years? I don't think he's even been back to a Super Bowl. But now when he goes to the Jets, they have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And every year you had to consider, hey, the Packers, they might be in the Super Bowl because they have a proven Super Bowl winner in Aaron Rodgers. It's the same thing when you look at the top guys in the NBA. Once you do it, you're considered that you can do it, and your team is able to get to that level because you've done it once. Once you do it once, you're forever thought about like that. And that's where Jokic is. That's where Giannis is. That's certainly where Steph is. And even KD, and of course, LeBron and AD and Kawhi are not on this list. They're just outside that top 10, but they're still thought of for good reason, you know, in that same vein of they've done it before, so they can do it again. But you look at these last 4 years, and of course, LeBron and AD have their championship from the bubble. But you look at these last 4 years, and you know, KD, can he do it again? I mean, his numbers are still really, really good. But is there any reason to say that KD can lead a team more than Tatum can at this point in time, right now, in 2023? I don't really think there is. I certainly don't think there is with Jimmy, with Booker, you know. And I think with Steph, Giannis, and Jokic, you know, Tatum's right there. He's been right next to those guys. And so, of course, has he had a bad game? Yes. Of course, all of these guys have, basically, except for Jokic. I'll be honest, Jokic was pretty hard to find some bad games that he had. His bubble Western Conference Finals wasn't great by his standards. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists compared to the 28, 11, and 7 stat line that he's averaging over these 4 years. But, you know, Giannis, he's had bad games. You know, one of the points Waz was making, this is more about the team than it was Jason Tatum, because obviously Jason Tatum in game 7 last year against Miami rolls his ankle on the very first possession. Let's not forget that. The very first possession. Didn't get up and down. First possession. Rolls his ankle, and it all kind of went downhill from there. But let's look at game 7, you know, in the Boston Garden 2 years ago, you know, 10 of 26 for Giannis Antetokounmpo, 109-81. Boston beat that ass in game 7. So let's not forget that game as well, too. So why does Jason Tatum's games kind of fall against him versus others? You know, and Steph Curry, he's missed the playoffs twice in the last couple years. KD, Tatum swept him, you know? Like, even when when KD had Kyrie and Harden at full tilt, Tatum still found one with that group of people that I just mentioned. That's what he was playing with. He might as well have ran out there with me, Greg, and Adam. Like, that's what he was rolling out there with. He still found a way to drop a 50-burger and get one. So, you know, I'm just saying there is other games that these other guys, it's not like they don't have them. So to say he consistently has more bad games than anybody, I just think it's false. Jimmy Butler, let's use him as an example. 12 point, you know, in NBA Finals, game 6 in, you know, in the bubble, 12 points, 27 points total. Eastern Conference Finals, the year they lost to the Celtics, games 2 through 4. Let me say that again, 27 points total in 3 games. In 3 games on 10 of 40 shooting. This past NBA Finals, pretty average. 21 points per game, 41% from the field. Like, you know, I don't understand why some of these poor performances for Tatum seem to stick with him a little bit more than these other guys. Devin Booker is the last guy that I'll use here. NBA Finals game 3 a couple years ago, 10 points, 3 of 14 shooting. That infamous Western Conference Finals game. Western Conference semifinals game in which they get blown out by the Dallas Mavericks, 12 points, 3 of 14 from the field. But yet, that's not necessarily seen the same as Devin Booker's a killer. He's got this, I don't know, he's got some mentality that apparently, you know, Jason Tatum doesn't have. And like I said, Jason Tatum has some stinkers, but he also has been in the playoffs every single year of his career, starting as a rookie. He dunked on LeBron his rookie year, as we all know. Game 6 against Milwaukee, against Giannis, a guy on this list who I'm admitting is higher, is in a different level because he's done it, goes into his home court as he's defending the title. Game 6, 46 points. Your team's about to go home. You're down 3-2, puts up that 46-point game, one of the best games of his entire career, comes back, beats that ass in Game 7. Last year, and this is one that I think really stood out to me, is he is in Big Waz's, and I recommend you obviously go listen to this podcast, kind of make this, you know, judgment call for yourself. But he talks about how bad Jason Tatum was in those first 3 quarters of Game 6 against Philadelphia in the second round, and he's totally right. We've talked about it before. The 3-man weave has a text message chain that can never see the light of day. We wouldn't be allowed to be on the show. We'd have to fire ourselves from the show if those text messages ever got released. It was bad. But Jason Tatum, who I believe was 1 of 13 going into that, you know, to not then also be able to give him credit for 14 points in the fourth quarter on the road, your team facing elimination against the MVP, against a guy, Joel Embiid, that most people put, despite the playoff success, still might put above Jason Tatum in some of these where is he or can he be that dude list. For him to do that, if he doesn't go off and have those 14 points in the fourth quarter, Jaylen Brown's probably in Portland right now. Drew Holiday's probably not. He's probably still in the Bucks. The whole NBA, it has a potential league-altering, you know, event. That's a potential league-altering event if Jason Tatum doesn't do that. And then for four more quarters, follow that up with 51 points in a game seven. But I just feel like for some reason, that isn't seen as the same way as, you know, I think about even Steph Curry, the first half that he had, and this is outside of the sample size that I use, but 2019 versus the Rockets, 0-5, 0 points in the first half. Comes back, 33 points, absolutely freaking electric. One of the best performances I've ever seen. And that is looked at as one of his Mount Rushmore games. And yet for Tatum, it's still, yeah, but how bad was he in those three quarters that it doesn't seem to matter that he then put up 14 points in that fourth quarter and then had 51 points in game seven. He still kind of gets this label as not a big game guy. And that for me is the biggest thing that I disagree with. And, you know, it took in that NBA finals, which is the one that gets brought up a lot. Did you see him in the finals? Well, he had to get surgery on his wrist afterwards. So if you want to throw that caveat in there, and all these guys could have, well, in this game, Jimmy had an ankle. In this game, Giannis had something. There's everybody has something at that point. But if you're going to say that that's the series you look at, that Tatum can't get it done, that just feels so ridiculous to me. It took another one of these guys on this list, Steph Curry. I mentioned that Houston game is a Mount Rushmore game. One of the other games that is 100% definitively on that list is his 43-point performance in game four as his team was down 2-1 and down late in that game as well. Like, it took Steph Curry, who's a top 10 to 12 guy all time, never mind right now, all time, for him to put up one of his best performances ever. And that's still what it took for him not to have the W on his resume, where once he gets that W, you can't take that away. And he's in that Jokic, that Giannis, that Steph category, undeniably. So, you know, bringing this full circle back to the point of trying to figure out, is Jason Tatum more consistently bad than any other player of his caliber in these big omens? My answer is definitively no. I just don't see it. If you want to tell me he's not Giannis, he's not Steph, and he's not Jokic, okay. If you want to specifically name those three guys, I can give you that. But if you want to tell me that he comes up short more times in big moments than anyone else outside of those three, and I think if you were to compile, hey, outside of those three, who's the next guy that is always consistently, because he's been there more than anybody else, because he's consistently there, it's Jason Tatum. And I think part of the reason that he gets thought of this way is because he's seen more often. He's played 66 playoff games in the last four seasons. I mentioned Jimmy's the only other one above 60. Just a reminder, Jokic, 54, Giannis, 45, Steph, 35, KD, 27, Booker, 43. So you're seeing a larger sample size by a considerable amount of what Jason Tatum is doing because his team is always in the conference finals or the NBA finals. So because of that, I do think that lingers in more people's minds. And because of that, he gets dinged for it, where maybe he has a great game seven in the second round, but maybe he's only played 45 games. And I think, is he then thought of in a different light? Kind of seems that way with some of these guys. So I don't know what to make of that, but I do think overall, he's not consistently worse than any other player other than those three guys I mentioned. But at the end of the day, been watching a little bit of Scrubs lately. That's how they end all their episodes. At the end of the day, if you want to take all of this conversation off the table, you got to go Al Davis Raiders style and just win, baby. Once you win, what can you say now? What can you say now? You can't say nothing. And that's going to do it for this episode of Green with Envy. I'm running on fumes here, but had to get that off my chest. Not going to lie, spent most of the game doing a lot of that research, so had to make sure that I made it worthwhile. But really excited for the upcoming season, and appreciate everybody locking in with us. Get tuned in. Make sure you're subscribed and following us at Green Envy Pod on all social medias. Follow the YouTube page. We're going to have a lot of content for you and coming up this weekend, hopefully. If our guys are healthy, we'll have a three-man weave. But for now, that's going to do it. We'll see y'all on the weekend. Enjoy some Black Sheep Optimus on the way out. Peace.
Baby, what can I say? You got me on the floor, you know I came to play. I know I shouldn't, but you seem to take my pain away. And every time I score, Jason Tatum fade away.